When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello, gorgeous. Welcome back to the Give Them Lala podcast. I am so excited for today's guest. Her name is Alyssa Shalasky, aka the real life Carrie Bradshaw. We are going to dive in to her amazing modern day life and talk about her book, This Might Be Too Personal, and Other Intimate Stories, which came out April 5th. You guys have to get it. So let's just get it popping. We have Alyssa Shalasky. All right, you guys, I am about ready to have a heyday with Alyssa Shalasky, the real life Carrie Bradshaw. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited.
I mean, I'm going to take it. Let's go with it. But I don't know if it's like, I don't think they based the, they did not base the show on me. Like I took over the column 7 years ago, Sex Diaries for New York Magazine, where I profile a different New Yorker's love and sex life every single week of the year. But the show came before the column.
Okay. So I've read your bio and all of us outsiders, I know that the show came before, but we're all pegging you as the real life Carrie Bradshaw.
I mean, I love it. It's been a life, even like when I was in my 20s in New York, 22, I moved to New York when I was 18. I was always doing this and I was always talking about love and sex and writing about love and sex and keeping it real. And then the show came out and everybody was just like, how did they know about you? And how did you inspire this character? And it's like, I didn't. I really can't take credit for it. It was based on Candace Bushnell, another New York writer. But I've just lived this parallel life with that character for so long that at this point it seems to be sort of like conflated. So, I mean, there are worse things. I love it. And
I love it for you.
Jessica Parker. I know the few times I've met her, interviewed her, I always want to be like, you know, like I'm you and you're me and you're Carrie and I'm Carrie. And then I just don't say anything because it's just too weird. And she's such a classy person that you just don't want to be like remotely, you know, too gross or like aggressive in any way. So
I'm not intimidated by many people, but if I were to run into her, I would be immediately intimidated.
You wouldn't though. I think it's like when somebody meets you, like there is something disarming about you and something, I mean, I'm just meeting you for the first time, but I've certainly followed you. It's surreal to be talking to you. She's very warm and yeah, she's beautiful and, you know, teeny and chic as hell, but she's so warm and so cool. And she's like the type of person who wants to know about you. And rather than make it about her, I don't know. I think that you would be thrilled, but I think in a second you guys would probably, I mean, I'm talking about her like she's my best friend.
Yeah.
I've been here like literally twice, but I think you share a spirit. Oh my God, Lala, I love you. There's so much I've wanted to say to you throughout the years.
Oh, I love that.
I really am a big fan. I'm a big Bravo fan. And I've been loyal to you since like your first appearance on Vanderpump. Like before it was cool to like be obsessed with you. Do you know what I mean?
You were, when it was an unpopular opinion, you were still down for Lala. I love that.
I knew it. I knew you were magical and I knew you'd have your moment. It didn't take long for the rest of the world to catch on. But no, I love you. I hated seeing you well, you look so good in the, at the reunion, but I hated seeing you in pain. And I'm so proud of your sobriety, and fuck anybody who came for you at that. I'm very fierce. I have two young kids and I'm a mama bear, and
totally,
we don't have to talk about it, but like anybody who thought that like you deserved what happened to you because of the circumstance, like I so fucking heartless.
You know what? In that moment, I'm glad I wasn't actually physically at the reunion, because the side comments I wasn't able to hear because I was via Zoom. And, you know, so I watched myself and I was like, damn, I was so poised during those moments. But I can't take credit because I didn't hear what was going on the side.
That's amazing. Although I will say that's what I love about you. It's not your darkness. It's your lightness. Like, it's your grace, honestly.
Thank you. I so appreciate you saying that.
I mean, it's just such bullshit that anybody would come for you on that show, as if they're all such purists.
I know. You know what, though? I'm a tough bitch. Yeah, and I know that you can relate to that, because your resume is insane and it's not easy to get where you are. And I'm definitely inspired. That's the word of this entire, when I, you know, revamped the Give Them Lala podcast, it was like, I want people on who inspire me in some way. Let's talk about this. Okay. I have a baby, obviously, and I know that I would like another one, and I would like it in a certain time period. If I don't meet somebody, I'm absolutely getting a sperm donor.
Oh yeah. You're made for it. You're made for it.
Made for it. So you've been there. You've been there. Let's talk about it. What is going through that process like?
Well, it takes obviously a tough bitch like we are, somebody who does not care. You know, it has such a strong sense of self and a strong village and a strong foundation that it really doesn't matter what anybody's going to say. It's really a tough decision to make if you're going to worry that people are going to gossip or feel bad for you. Like you really have to be above all that, which like you're already there. I was definitely already there. You know, I don't, beyond that, it doesn't take much more than just like inner strength.
Okay.
The decision that you are ready to be a mother and that nothing's going to get in your way. For me, I was there. I mean, I was 38 and I'd wanted to have kids my whole life. So I was more than there. I guess I was 37 when I started the process. So I made up my mind. I made up my mind because I met another single mother by choice who was the sexiest, coolest woman I'd ever met in my life.
Totally.
And I didn't have many examples of what a single mother by choice looked like. And I met her and it was like, yes, that's me. That's who I aspire to be. That's my definition of what it is to be a cool woman in the world, like that. And so she was my mentor and she said, go to this doctor and this sperm bank. And she's very successful. She's rich and I'm not. And I was like, okay, but let's talk about the reality of it. And honestly, it cost me, I'm very transparent about these things. It cost me $10,000 at the end of the day, which is a lot. It was a lot for me and it's a lot for a lot of women, but it's not what you might expect, right? Like, it's not like you don't need $100,000. You don't need $1 million. And then the question is, can you raise a baby? A lot of people were like, well, how will you raise a baby without the income of a man or whatever? And the truth is, like, there's many creative ways to raise a family. There's totally. Many best things in life are free. Sorry for the cliche, but now that you have a baby, you know, it's sitting on a picnic blanket and watching the sunset. You know, it's, we live in great cities where there's museums and classes. And so anyway, once I was like, yes, I can afford this. And yes, I'm doing this. That's the hardest part, is just to be like, I'm in. Because like anything in life, you have to be super responsible and go to the doctors and do fertility and not fuck around and not sort of like question yourself. You got to have that faith in yourself and like faith in your baby who's not even there yet, but just faith that the two of you will be okay.
Oh my gosh, that sends chills. Like, I love that. And I love that you took me through that aspect of it, of the emotional part. Because actually, when I was thinking about, you know, in a year or two, if I don't have somebody, I will get a sperm donor. I didn't even think about the outside world and what people might say. Is that so weird? I didn't even think that.
I think you've exercised that muscle. Like, you couldn't do what you do if you weren't already evolved enough to handle that shit.
Right. Is it basically like shopping for a baby daddy when you go, when you get a sperm donor?
Yeah. I mean, I had fun with it. I saw all of this as just the, like, the greatest thing in the world. I was dying to become a mother and I figured out a way how. But I think a lot of other people, the sperm donor, picking the donor really freaks them out. For me, it was just like, oh my God, like, do I want my daughter to, do I want my future child to be really tall or really athletic or brilliant or speak four languages or like be a great, great dancer, whatever. There's all these, you know, descriptions. So it was fun because it's sort of like looking around a room, you know, you've dated all these guys and some wanted kids or didn't want kids, or you weren't sure if you wanted to have a baby with them. And it's like, here's 100,000 men who all, who like, you can have a baby with any of them.
Right.
Essentially, like, assuming God willing, like, you're healthy and stuff. So, yeah, I went for, I mean, I'll be very honest. Like, I went for looks and I went for genetics because I knew that I would make my child kind and funny and smart and spiritual. Like, I knew I had all that covered to give somebody like great cheekbones or eyebrows or like creamy skin or whatever. I was like, why not? Life is hard enough. Like, let them be tall. Like, let them have like a really cool, you know, mixed background. So I just had fun. And what I did was I narrowed it down to three different donors. And then I like included my family and we had like a little viewing party and I sort of presented the donors and we, you can hear their voices. You can hear like a Q&A with each donor and we listened.
So, but do you see, do you, okay. So it wasn't like a Q&A where you guys were like seeing each other. This was just like the sperm donor place. What do you call it? A sperm bank?
Yeah.
They conduct interviews with these sperm donors. And then when you decide, okay, this one, I like the look of it. And then they send over like their interview process.
You get a membership. So of course, like you get the highest, like you don't skimp on this. Like you get the VIP membership.
Totally.
Because there's no better money spent. You know, you're not going to do like clearance rack sperm. So
clearance rack sperm.
Like you go to the top.
You go to fucking Bergdorf sperm. Absolutely. 100%.
That's my favorite store. So with the good package, you get the voice recording. So you see the baby pictures. In my case, I did not choose a sperm bank where you can see adult pictures. I just didn't want to. I didn't care. I like the fantasy of it all. Like you see pictures, I think age 10 and under. So I like sort of just imagining what they grew up to be. And I didn't want to look for this guy like all around America and like have a, I'd rather just, I call him Vince Vaughn in my book because
I love that.
They also have celebrity lookalikes and that was his celebrity lookalike. You got to go on. It's so fun. I'll get you a code.
I would love to do this. This sounds fucking awesome.
Like we have the same attitude. I thought it was just fucking awesome. I thought it was fabulous. And we're joking about it and talking about sort of the superficial stuff, but there's also like so much blood work done and so much health, which of course, like you do need to know that part. There's a little bit of a question mark with a sperm donor where it's just like, you know, health history, mental health history, schizophrenia, things that like don't even necessarily show up in blood work. But as much as you can know about pretty much any guy you're going to sleep with or, you know, date or make a baby with, you do know about the sperm donors because of like the high level health info they have to put out there. So it's like, once that part's done, they've got all the good health stuff. Yeah. You can have fun with it. You can pick some like Matt Damon sperm or like Ryan Seacrest lookalike sperm. There's so many.
I would pick maybe like a Denzel Washington sperm.
So that's on there. Goes fast. That shit goes fast.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Or like a Michael B. Jordan. Like I'm sure it goes fast.
Those would go fast. I definitely thought about like, that's my type of guy for sure. And I was, even though like I ended up, my partner now is like a white boy from Maine, like the opposite. But I sort of always thought like I ended up choosing a donor who looked somewhat like my family, because I, for me personally, I just felt like my kid would, I didn't know what it would be like. And if they were, he or she or they were faced with a million questions about who's your real dad and the biology of it all, as it turns out, none of that matters and nobody cares. Nobody says anything, but just to protect my kid from having one more question that they had to answer. In other words, like, why are you black and your mother's white? Or why are you, you know, why do you look Korean and your mother's Jewish, whatever it was. I decided to just eliminate one question from their life in case it was something that continued to come up for them. Here in Brooklyn and where you are in LA, and honestly, hopefully more and more everywhere, nobody cares. Nobody like gives a shit that Hazel, my partner has now adopted Hazel. He's not her biological father, but he's been with us since she was 7 months old. She knows her whole story. It's frankly, it's like boring to her. Do you know what I mean? Like,
so how old is Hazel?
So she's six. And then Sam and I had have a 2 year old who like I had through sex. It's embarrassing because we just like had sex and got pregnant. It's so uninteresting. it's so retro. It's like there's no, it's not as modern as I want my brand to be. But
right, I love it.
It's a blessing. No, it's he's adorable. So
well, the first round was very modern day of you.
Yeah, totally.
Did Hazel have questions or did you just, when did you decide to tell her about, you know, her backstory?
So I told her, and I would say this, advise this like any mother in whatever situation, like I've always been 100% honest, but to the extent that like her brain could handle it. Do you know what I mean? So what I always did was say, and I made it sound like a beautiful story, like a fairy tale, like enchanted and magical. And I would just say, you know, like in the beginning, it was just like mommy and Hazy. It was just the two of us. And then we met daddy and he begged and begged to be your father. And we had a little family meeting, just the two of us when you were 7 months old and you were like, yes, mommy, I want, you know, like I made it all something happy and fun instead of dark and scary. And even like about how she's born or how she was created, now I use the word sperm because she kind of gets it, even though she's like, gross, mom, don't say that word. But I used to say like, thank God for this doctor. Dr. Griffo, like he put a seed in mommy's tummy. Like I picked the best seed and he put the seed in mommy's tummy and we grew you. Like the doctors and I grew you and then I had you. And so she always knew that she was kind of conceived through this, I don't know, this like magical way that was.
It is magical. I mean, as you're talking about it, I wish that everyone could see my face because I just am like, my face hurts because I'm just like, tell me more about this magical story of how Hazel came to be. I love that. And by the way, I feel like the way that you explained it to her is very much how it happened. Like you're saying, like you put it in a very magical way, but you're just putting it the way it happened, like the honest truth.
Yeah, the honest truth. And I think because I have such warm feelings, I have such gratitude for like the doctors and honestly for the sperm donor who I will probably never meet him. I don't know him. I don't know anything about him, but I love him so much, Lala. It's the most like unconventional love story of all because I never need to meet him. And yet, like, I hold him in my heart and like in such a safe spot forever and ever. He gave me the greatest gift of all, you know, and she's perfect. She's unbelievable. And I owe that to him. So it's a really unusual thing because it's in a way he's my great love story.
Wow.
You know, and he's a stranger and a mystery. And I am okay if he remains that way for the rest of my life.
Alyssa, that is so beautiful what you just said.
Thank you.
I have never heard that story before, for even a version of that story from anybody. And the way that you just explained it, that was beautiful.
It's all perspective. And you know this now with Ocean. Like, by the way, my son's name is River. I can't believe the name. I love the name Ocean so much. I can't believe it was not on my radar when I was pregnant with him. I mean, I'm glad I chose River and he's a boy. But I fucking love the name Ocean so much.
Thank you. Can I tell you, I have always been obsessed with the ocean and everything in it. It was after I saw the documentary Blackfish. I don't know if you ever saw that. It's about orcas in captivity and just something started pulling at me. And I said, this is my passion and I have to be a voice for animals in captivity. And I developed a deep love for the ocean, but it never crossed my mind for a name until I was in the Bahamas walking through the marina and there was a yacht called the Ocean Alexander. And I was like, oh my God, the name Ocean. It has to be my first baby.
Right. Cause it could be boy or girl. And like the nick, like O is such a cool nickname. I don't know if you call her O or
we baby do. Pet. We call her O.
Yeah. It's just so perfect. You know this now as a mother who has had to sort of rewrite your own story a bit. Like, it is all about the perspective and the narrative we tell ourselves. And when once we can make peace with it and we find the beauty around it, like you already said, you've done where you have your gratitude and you know how lucky you are. Once you have that beautiful perspective around your unique story, as complicated as it is, you just infuse that into everything you give your kids.
Right.
You know, you're not pretending that everything is normal. I mean, who cares about normal?
Anyway? Right.
Or easy even, but it's, if you make it, you know, enchanted and blessed and just like filled with spirit, you know, and grace, like it makes it so much easier and it like sets the tone for the rest of their life.
I agree with you. And so many people ask me, are you worried about what Ocean may read? And I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm her mother. And no matter what, she's always going to be okay. Because I'm her mother, she's surrounded with love, she's surrounded with positivity. And even though I look at the big picture and I think, you know, how did I end up here? I look at Ocean and I go, this is exactly why. Every choice that I made, every move that I made, it was all leading to this little girl right here.
And you got pregnant, like something was right about it, that you got pregnant, you stayed pregnant. This daughter is just perfection. Yeah. Think about it. I feel like you were ready to be a mom too, right?
Absolutely. I was like, let's do this.
Yeah.
Yes. Mine's uneventful too. And very, like you said, you have one cool story, one not so cool. Mine was like, we downloaded the fertility app and I was like, time for bang sessions. Like I'm ready to have a baby and be a mother. So that's my story.
So I have two game changers to share with you when it comes to upping your glam game. I am totally obsessed with Impress No Glue Manis and Impress Press-On False Eyelashes because I'm very into just easy right now, and anyone can do it. You are going to love them just as much as I do. Both require zero glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes. There's also no annoying dry time. And the best part? Zero mess. One step and you're done. The lash style options are endless, and there are so many on-trend nails to choose from. Impress, No Glue Manis, and Press-On Falsies are the easiest and fastest way to upgrade your look in just minutes. The Press-On Falsies have a unique under-lash application for a totally seamless look and are made with an exclusive self-stick technology that keeps them secure for up to 24 hours. The Impress Manis have a patented super hold adhesive for up to 7 days secure hold. And that's perfect for all of you busy mamas out there who don't have a lot of time to spend on glam but want to look your best. I completely get it. Impress No Glue Manis and Impress No Glue Press-On Falsies are absolutely a beauty must. You need to try them right now. So get yours today at impressbeauty.com/Lala. And use code Lala at checkout for 25% off Impress Manicure and Press-On Falsies. That's impressbeauty.com/Lala and use code Lala at checkout for 25% off. Here's what I love about doing a podcast. It doesn't really require any glam, like at all. I can podcast in comfort. And for me, that means wearing my new favorite super soft Quince cashmere tee. Thanks to Quince, I've got a lineup of timeless, comfortable pieces that keep me looking so chic summer after summer. Quince has premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts starting at $30. You can find silk tops, 14-karat jewelry, and so much more. And this is my favorite part. All Quince items are 50 to 80% less than many similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts the cost of the middleman and passes all of those savings on to us. And don't get me started on their towels. I have the Quince waffle towels at the Palm Springs house. I have them in white and they are so soft. So get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/Lala for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Lala to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/Lala.
It wouldn't be Lala if I didn't get a little raunchy.
I pay my rent writing about low jobs and rim jobs and, you know.
So let's talk about that. What are you doing with that mouth to be engaged multiple times? Like, what are you doing to make a man put a ring on it more than once?
I think it's because I never wanted to get married. So they all came. You know what I mean? I never cared. Which, by the way, being pregnant also was like, everyone was like, who's going to date you now? And it's like, who's not going to date me now? Like, I literally need nothing from a man. And they all were like, so captivated by that.
Right.
I don't know why. I do date. I have a wild side. My poor Sam missed like my slutty years, but I was very lucky. Like, I think I had an orgasm the night I lost my virginity. I think I had 3 orgasms that night. Like, I had a very healthy relationship with sex and, you know, adult consensual safe sex. But nevertheless, I had a very good relationship with sex. I loved it. It changes in your 40s. It changes. It sucks. Like,
it does change when you get older, I feel.
After kids, I don't know. It's still nice. It's still nice, but I used to really like, you know, crave it, you know? Where were we with it going?
We were talking about how you've been engaged so many times. Oh. And I have this right here. You were engaged to a celebrity chef. And you moved to Italy.
I was engaged to Spike from Top Chef, one of your brothers of Bravo. Yeah. I don't know if you remember him or if you watch Top Chef, but
of course I do.
He's wonderful. I had a crush on him on the show and I interviewed him for a story for a magazine. Kind of like I manipulated this interview because I was just dying to meet him because I had like a feeling that we would have chemistry and we did. So I was engaged to Spike for a couple years. I have nothing but wonderful things to say about him. He's as like delicious as he appears to be on TV. It just, life with a chef was not for me. And I was ready to have kids even then, like in my late 20s, early 30s. And he was on a completely different road to stardom or, you know, this sort of sexy chef life. And we kind of crashed and burned, but he has kids now and I have kids now and it's all good. We're like estranged, but I have nothing bad to say about him. I love him.
Yeah. The timing was just off.
The timing was off. And it looks like he really found his soulmate. I'm not sure. We had a lot of heat and we had a lot of, connection and certainly friendship. And, he's hot. He's really hot. I loved being his girlfriend. But it looks like he found his soulmate. And so I'm happy for him. Yeah.
I love that for him. And what about this rando guy on a Vespa? You asked him for directions and it turned into a 2-year relationship.
Yeah. So after Spike, I became a food writer. When I was with him part, I wanted to integrate into his life. Like, I never knew how to even like make toast. You know what I mean? Like, I couldn't boil water. And here I was with a chef who was surrounded, like Tom Colicchio was always visiting and all these big time chefs. And I hated feeling like a wallflower. I hate that feeling. And I, so I just sort of just like integrate into the food world. So I became a food writer, which was great. And that got me to, after Spike and I broke up, I was like, I'm going to do my Eat, Pray, Love thing and move to Italy and write through the pain. And, you know, and the first human being, literally the first hurt Italian I spoke to asking for directions to my Airbnb ended up being this ugly yet sexy, dark, brooding guy on a Vespa hand rolling cigarette who I ended up staying with for 3 years.
That is insane. So he wasn't physically attractive.
I think you get what I mean when I say ugly, sexy.
Ugly, sexy. I'll be honest, Liz. I don't know what that means.
All right. I was just kind of thinking. Okay.
Do you have an example?
He was really tall. Okay. He was, oh God, who would we both know? I don't want to, not like a Jax because he wasn't cheesy. He was Italian. He was like very sophisticated.
Totally.
A snob and all, you know, I don't know, just like a dark brooding European man, like Javier Bardem or something.
Love
like
it.
That. You know what I
hot.
Mean?
Hot. Yes.
Yeah. Really,
I totally get
really
what you
hot,
mean
but not, but like a, presents as a hot, confident mm-hmm. man, real, you know, but it was just like this Italian dream. I was a fever dream. And I was taking Italian and we were cooking together and we were drinking a lot of Negronis and the sex was good, but he was really dark. That was the last guy. Like that was the final straw for me in terms of like difficult men. Like this guy had demons. And And you know, I was then like by then 32 and then 34 and then suddenly you're 35 and it's just like, get me off the Vespa. Like get me off the
fucking Vespa. Okay. What about this CFO close talker with a deadly stinky cheese habit?
Oh, that poor guy. Yeah. That was like an unfortunate, he had hygiene issues.
Okay. Let's talk about that. You say he's a close talker. Did the stinky cheese breath linger?
Yeah, it was real bad. And he was super confident and he was like, I won't say where he went, but he was a very polished guy and he probably read some leadership book at some point where it's like, shake somebody's hand and look them in the eye and have a really like present conversation. I was like, maybe not that present. Like maybe back it up. Be a little distant.
I was with this guy. I won't mention his name, but, and I told him this on multiple occasions. He smelled like a farm animal most of the time. And I'm going to be so rude right now, but I'm not saying his name, so it doesn't matter. Alyssa, his breath smelled like a dead animal shit in it.
And you told him that?
Yeah, I did. I tried to be kind. I was like, hey, when you bathe, you should like use soap. Like I was trying to be nice and be like, hey, we should brush our teeth like more than just once a week. And it wasn't hitting right. So then I just lost my mind and I told him all of that.
Oh my God. That is so, because it sounds like it was because of like a lack of trying. Like I do think maybe every now and then there's like a guttural, like sometimes they say there's like, you know, there's something deeper, like a gut situation.
Yeah. No, can I tell you, this person, I got into a fight one time when we were dating and I made a comment about him brushing his teeth and he said, I do brush my teeth. And I said, well, then maybe you have stomach issues. Okay. Then the last one we're going to talk about is your husband, who you met on Tinder.
And who I refused to marry.
So he's not your husband.
No, we might as well be. I'm not against, like, I am against marriage, but I'm not, it doesn't offend me in any way because I love him. We're monogamous. I hope to be with him forever.
He's your life partner.
He's my life partner. He's
father of your children.
Exactly. He legally adopted Hazel this year in the middle of the pandemic. We changed her last name to his. And so, because I really wanted my kids to have the same last name. I just didn't want there to be any question about like, I used to hate when people would be like, so is River like her half or her step?
And it's hate just like, that too.
Your fucking brother. I know. Do you have siblings that are from different parents?
Yes, I have a half brother and we have the same last name. We have the same same dad, yeah. But we're 15 years apart. So a lot of people I have to explain because they're like, wow, so your mom had him when she was like 15. And I'm like, no.
Right.
So then I have to go into the whole thing, but it's like, no, he's not my, oh, so he's your half brother. No, he's my fucking brother.
Exactly, he's your family. He's your family.
There's no half anything here.
No, I don't like that at all. And I just didn't, I wanted to, I don't know. I just wanted to prevent that from happening. And also Sam has a great, his last name is Russell. It was just like that's a great last name.
So it's a great last name.
I know. I'm like Shalasky. I'm a mouthful, but like Russell is so classy. And
Would you ever change your last name?
I've been professional writer my entire life. And I just like, you know, my byline and my books and stuff. So I don't think I would, although like, I think my being Alyssa Russell would have like been given me an entirely different life, you know, than like Alyssa Shalasky. I sound like inherently like this, like, you know, gossipy Jewish lady from the Upper West Side or something. But
oh, I love it.
Thank you. I love your name.
Why am I blinking? The age difference between River and Hazel?
4 years apart, which was more than I wanted. So I had Hazel at 38. Sam and I started trying. I had a miscarriage. I had a bunch of chemical pregnancies, which I don't know if you've ever had them. It's weird because you get the positive pregnancy result.
Right.
And then like you get a really heavy period 10 days later, you know? So it's a little bit of a mind fuck, but it's not, you know, it happens. And then I did IVF, which I found to be like, unique form of human torture. And I had my daughter. So I was sort of like, do I want to put myself through this? I already have a kid. Like, I'll be okay. If it's, well, of course we'll be okay. So I didn't do another round of IVF, and then we gave up, and then we got pregnant. It's like very, you know, classic.
That is everyone's story. Do you think it's because the pressure is gone? Like, your body feels relaxed?
For me, yes, 100%. Yeah. We were back to having sex for the sake of pleasure again.
Totally.
And yeah, my body was relaxed. Exactly. And I remember it was really good sex. I don't know if there's any science behind that, but it was like, it was all flowing. You know what I mean? Like, and I was 42. So I got pregnant that time and had a beautiful pregnancy, and then came River.
So no complications with your pregnancy with River?
It's so funny because I know Sheena had it too. I had preeclampsia with both my pregnancies.
That is so scary.
It is. It's the only reason now I'm 44, but I would never do it again because how many times do you want to press your luck? But you should tell Sheena, you do get it. Like, chances are you'll get it with your second pregnancy. And it's okay. You just have to like be really diligent about checking your blood pressure. You got it. Like, you do, it's not a joke. It's not a joke at all.
Yeah. I mean, I remember Sheena at the reunion, like she said, I believe she said she could have died.
Oh yeah. You definitely can die if you don't catch it or have a stroke. It's serious. It's very scary. I know, I felt for her. I'm not like the biggest Sheena empathizer. I mean, I like her a lot, but I'm always, you know, she's dramatic. But then like when I heard her say that, I was like, oh no, she went through hell. That's
absolutely
tough stuff. Yeah.
I have been very transparent with you guys about my hair struggles between the pregnancy hormones and bleaching it all the time. I have been having some serious hair issues. And now with baby number two on the way, I'm already being proactive about my hair thanks to Nutrafol. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding. And I am definitely one of those people. Nutrafol supports healthy hair growth from within by targeting the root causes of thinning, which are stress, hormones, environment, nutrition, lifestyle, and metabolism. You can take the Nutrafol Hair Wellness Quiz on Nutrafol.com for a personalized hair health plan based on your specific root causes. Because I know we are all different and we're on different hair journeys, Nutrafol makes building a hair growth routine super easy. Purchase online, no prescription required. You get free shipping and automatic deliveries so that you never miss a day. And you'll see results in 3 to 6 months. So take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering Give Them Lala listeners $10 off your first month's subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter promo code Lala. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com. Spelled Nutrafol.com. Promo code Lala. That's Nutrafol.com. Promo code Lala.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters. And what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble. With exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
So you said you, I'm loving this conversation, by the way. You said you don't believe in marriage. Can you elaborate, like, what makes you not believe in it?
Okay, well, the 3 times I was engaged, it did nothing for me. Like, I didn't care about the rings were all beautiful, fine. I just didn't fulfill something that I've been waiting for my whole life, anything like that. And on top of that, I just felt an enormous amount of pressure. Maybe it was because they all, you know, it was with the wrong person all 3 times, or my gut, my intuition knew something, but I just felt this pressure. Like, I don't know, I felt trapped, and that took away the point for me, which was just to feel lifted up by the relationship. And like, your life was only enhanced, and like, you're, this was, I don't know. I always wanted like my soul to be watered by the person I'm with. And I always instead started to feel like claustrophobic and kind of nervous. And I didn't like all the attention on like us being perfect forever and ever. So after I called up the 3rd one, I was like, also, I can never call my mother again and be like, I'm engaged. Like, I can never, like, it, like, I can't do that to the people I love ever again. I have come from tons of aunts and they all like would take their dresses out from the basement and like air out the mothballs and then bring the dresses right back down to the basement, you know? And then when I was pregnant with Hazel, I had a boyfriend in LA. I was in New York. He was in LA, lived in Echo Park. And it was the first truly non-monogamous, super unique, way out of the box relationship. And it was the best love story of my life because he was my person. I adored him. I didn't care what he was doing. He fulfilled everything I needed and I didn't care what he was doing when we weren't together, blah, 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 blah. You'll have to read the chapter in my book. It's actually really heartbreaking because his roommate, they were like these two gorgeous womanizers living in Echo Park, musicians, and his roommate had struggled with addiction. And by the time Hazel's life began, like his roommate Ben's life ended.
Oh my God.
I mean, it's like, it was the most beautiful, romantic and heartbreaking time on so many levels. So all that to say, by the time I had Hazel, I'd come off that relationship and I was like, I do best with relationships that are like on the fringe. Like, I don't need the non-monogamy because I'm not interested in sleeping with more than one person at once. You know, it's not for me. And it gets messy. I mean, we're the last people out there who I feel like are not like, you know, ethically non-monogamous or whatever. But I found after that, I was like, that works for me. Like whatever that was, like a relationship that has its own set of rules and moves at its own speed and pace and sort of like just grows and evolves on it organically. Like that's for me.
Right.
No, if something changed and I was like, I'll never get married. And then when I met Sam, I said it on our first date. Well, I was like, well, first of all, I have a baby at home. She's 6 months old. Also, I'm never going to get married. So if that's what you're looking for, you know, good luck. And he was like, cool. You know, I love it.
Right.
And so it was off the table from the beginning for us. And it still is. I don't know. I get like, here's what I know. And you know this as well as anybody. Love is really complicated and it can often be cruel. And it is just the only thing like we can't ever really understand or control. And right. Knowing what I know about that, I don't understand why anybody would like lock in for life with one person, knowing that life throws you curveballs and people change and you know, people start to hate each other or you find somebody else and like you can't help but what you're feeling or, you know, whatever. I'm as traditional as the next person. I'm super grounded. I don't want, if Sam cheated on me, it would not be good. Like, I'm not saying I want this crazy free love kind of like 1970s lifestyle. I want the grounded traditional values and all that. I don't want to be legally bound to someone knowing that life fucks with you sometimes, you know.
I'm on your same page, by the way. I just wanted to get your perspective. I remember after my wedding was postponed at that time due to the pandemic, my mom, she kept trying to say it in a very soft way. And keep in mind, my parents were married for 40 years before my dad passed away. And so I come from successful marriages, you know, I've seen it with, right. So, yeah. You know, so it has nothing to do with me being traumatized by marriage, but she kept saying, if you marry him, you're going to lose your power because we kept trying to put a new date on the calendar and it kept getting canceled because COVID was just not allowing it to happen. And now, you know, cut to where we are now and everything I know, I'm just so... I will do a ceremony that we can celebrate our love. But when it comes down to the marriage, I am not having it. I will never get married to somebody. We will be together forever. That's what I want, just like that's what you want. Mm-hmm. I don't want to mess around with anybody. I just want a partner for life, but there's no contract involved. I don't need that.
No contract. It adds so much pressure. And it's just like, I hate, all my friends are married and they're happily married. And I hate to sound like a hater, but I honestly find it to be like foolish, like really, like knowing what we know, why do that? It's hard. It takes a really like evolved mind to understand that both things can exist, that you can want to be with someone forever and still believe in love and all of that. And yet feel that marriage is bullshit. Like, both can exist.
Totally. I had the best time with you on my podcast. You have no idea.
Me too. I also just want to say I really love DJ James Kennedy. I just have to say that. And I think that you, I know
he's
a lot for you. I love how you have taken care of him. And I love the friend you've been to him, even when he's made it impossible for you.
You know what? James Kennedy is such a fabulous soul. And if I always tell him, whoever is not your friend is missing out, because he is the funnest friend you'll ever have. You got to be tough. You got to be able to take some insults.
Yeah.
But he doesn't mean them. He loves hard. So that means he fights hard. But I adore DJ James Kennedy.
I know. He's on your level. He's on your, well, not quite. No one's quite on your level, but he's a good soul. I could tell. And you should go on. I want you to go switch to Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. That's the last thing I'm going to say about my.
All right. Can you write into Andy Cohen and tell him that?
Yeah, you belong there. Like, it's time for you to elevate. You know that.
I want to elevate. Where can people get your book, This Might Be Too Personal, and Other Intimate Stories?
So it's everywhere. You can get it on Amazon or your local bookstore. And you please follow me at Alyssa Shalasky.
I can't wait to read your book.
Oh my God, Lala, I really love you. I'm rooting for you, and you got this.
I really love you too. Thank you so much, babe.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Guest star Sarah Carter as Alicia Baker. Although I didn't really work with her a lot. But Tom did, and they had some real big smoochy scenes.
Yeah. Should we talk about that?
Could there be any more sex? What was a 3-page makeout scene that just kept going? Good Lord. We get it. They have chemistry.
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.